dates of the 14th and the 20th of August this year, the Western Cape Department of Health compiled figures on people above the age of 60 who have been infected with COVID-19. Only 30 out of 729 people above the age of 60 who were admitted to hospital for COVID-19 that week had been vaccinated. This means that 699 of those who were admitted with COVID-19 were not vaccinated. And of the 292 people above the age of 60 who died from COVID-19 that week, it was found that 287 of them were not vaccinated, meaning that only 5 were vaccinated. In other words, 96% of the people over 60 years of age who were hospitalized in the province, and more than 98% of the people over 60 who died were not vaccinated. A similar pattern has emerged in hospitals across the country. We know that a vaccinated person can still be infected and can still pass on the virus to others. This we know. But what we are seeing is that very few people who are vaccinated against COVID-19 are becoming severely ill with the disease, and very few are ending up in intensive care units or needing ventilation. Most importantly, people who are vaccinated against COVID-19 are far less likely to die of the disease. That is, fewer of them die of the disease. South Africa is fast becoming a vaccination site because number of our people are getting vaccinated. Over a quarter of all adult South Africans have received at least one vaccine dose, and more than 7 million people are fully vaccinated now. In the Eastern Cape, in Limpopo, and the Western Cape, more than 1 in 5 adults is now fully vaccinated. The number of vaccine doses administered in the country now stands at 14.6 million doses. We are now administering 1 million doses every 4 to 5 days. Government has secured sufficient vaccines to vaccinate the entire adult population, and the supply of vaccines is no longer a constraint. However, we need to do much more. And we are doing more as we improve our ways of working on the vaccination process. We're increasing the pace of vaccination and ensuring that we reach those who are most vulnerable to serious illness. While everyone aged 18 years and older is eligible to be vaccinated, we are concentrating our efforts and resources on those over 60 years of age and those who have comorbidities. To date, over 57% of persons over 60 years of age have been vaccinated. This is a great achievement, but we need to reach them all. We're finding that more women than men are coming forward to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Although the numbers are improving, men are still slow in coming forward to be vaccinated. We are spreading the message in all languages in our country to ensure that people understand that these vaccines are safe, effective, and free. In other words, we are spreading the message in all the official languages. Many people around the world are being vaccinated, with more than 5.5 billion vaccine doses having been administered worldwide so far. However, our continent is still right at the bottom of the vaccination experience, but it is beginning to pick up against all the odds that we've been facing as a continent. Fellow South Africans, there is now overwhelming evidence from hundreds of countries that vaccines are safe and provide strong protection. We have taken steps to make it easier for people to access vaccination wherever they are. There are now more than 3,000 public and private vaccination sites across the country, and most private sites will vaccinate any member of the public for free, whether you have health insurance, medical aid or not. I want to stress that the vaccination program is open to all people in South Africa, whether or not they are South African citizens. It is important to bear in mind that this is a new virus that the world has never encountered before. Although nobody can predict how the virus will mutate further, the scientific community has developed new and innovative ways of tracking the emergence of new variants. If many people are not vaccinated and remain vulnerable to infection, the chance of new and more dangerous variants emerging is far greater. This is why vaccines are currently the most potent weapon we have to fight this pandemic. The sooner we are all vaccinated, the sooner we can open up sports venues to spectators. The sooner we are all vaccinated, the sooner we can welcome tourists to our beautiful country. If we are all vaccinated, the sooner we can meet with friends and family, the sooner we can return to offices and other places of work. When we are vaccinated, we will be able to return our economy to full operation and create the jobs that our country needs. Importantly, when we are vaccinated, we will be able to restore all other critical health interventions and relieve the strain on our health workers. It is up to each and every one of us to convince our family members, our friends, our co-workers that vaccination is safe and that it could save their lives. When I last addressed the nation, we were heading towards the peak of the third wave of infections, which was being driven by the Delta variant of the virus. The Delta variant is far more transmissible than earlier variants that we've experienced, and because it infects far more people, it placed a great strain on our health facilities. We said then that the third wave would be more severe and last longer than the previous two waves, and that has proven to be correct. While the third wave is not yet over, we have seen a sustained decline in infections across the country over the last few weeks. The average number of daily infections over the last 2 weeks is 29% lower than the preceding 7 days and 48% lower than the 7 days before that. While the third wave peaked in Gauteng far earlier than and declined far faster than in any other provinces, there is now a marked decline across all provinces. The two provinces that stand out from the others are the Northern Cape and the Free State, where the number of infections as a proportion of the population has remained relatively high for several months now. We are therefore focusing our efforts on these two provinces to understand what is driving these infections and what measures we need to take to bring them down. With the decline of infections across all provinces, the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID-19 has recommended an easing of restrictions on the movement of people and also gatherings. These recommendations have been discussed at the National Coronavirus Command Council. They've also been discussed with our premiers, our mayors, our traditional leaders, as well as a number of MECs in the President's Coordinating Council. They've also been discussed with leaders of political parties represented in Parliament and with faith-based organizations. Based on these discussions and the recommendations and the proposals that have been put forward and the requests, Cabinet has decided that the country, after considering all these, it has decided that the country should be moved from adjusted level 3 and be placed on adjusted level 2 with effect from tomorrow, which is Monday, the 13th of September, 2021. What does this mean? This means that the hours of curfew will now start at 11 p.m. and end at 4 a.m. There is still a need for curfew. It also means that non-essential establishments like restaurants, bars, and fitness centers will need to close by 10 p.m. This is to allow their employees and patrons to travel home before the start of the curfew. It also means that all gatherings will now be limited to a maximum of 250 people indoors. And this has been raised from the 50 people indoors, and it will now mean that outdoors it will be limited to 500 people from the 100 that we had. Now, this move is based on the advice from the Medical Advisory Committee, as well as the consultations that we have had. Now, where the venue is too small to accommodate these numbers with appropriate social distancing, then no more than 50% of the capacity of the venue may be used. This includes religious services, political events and social gatherings, as well as restaurants, bars, taverns, and similar places. The sale of alcohol from retail outlets for off-site consumption will now be permitted between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. from Monday right through to Friday. Alcohol sales for on-site consumption will be permitted as per license conditions up to 10 p.m. Alcohol consumption remains prohibited in public spaces. These measures will be reviewed in 2 weeks' time, depending on the state of the pandemic. We do so that we see how the pandemic is progressing and the impact that these new measures will be having. So in 2 weeks, we should be able to have a review. We will also be providing further information on an approach for vaccine passports, which can be used as evidence of vaccination for various purposes and events. So that as people go around, they are able to demonstrate that yes, they've been vaccinated, and the Department of Health is looking at a variety of mechanisms, like they have in other countries, to either do it electronically through cell phone or other form of demonstration. Several important measures in relation to how we regulate COVID-19 remain in place. It remains mandatory for every person in our country to wear a mask that always covers their nose and mouth when in public spaces. It is a criminal offense not to do so, and the managers of shops and restaurants, as well as drivers of taxis and buses, have a responsibility to ensure that their customers wear masks and that the appropriate social distancing measures are in place. Funerals remain restricted to no more than 50 people. And as before, night vigils, after funeral gatherings, the so-called after tears, are not allowed. We are able to ease these restrictions, thanks to the efforts of all South Africans to adhere to the regulations and basic health measures. We are particularly thankful to those sectors of society that have had to endure restrictions on their activities for some time. I speak here of religious communities of all faiths, which have been unable to worship and to minister to the needs of their congregants as they normally do. We thank them for their patience and their forbearance. I also speak of artists, promoters, performers, and cultural workers who have had to find other outlets for their work and who have endured great difficulties. I add in this the owners of restaurants, bars, taverns, hotels, conference venues, and others in the hospitality sector that have seen a massive decline in their businesses. We recognize these hardships and will continue to find ways within our means of supporting these sectors and taking steps to enable their recovery. The vaccination drive offers an opportunity to open up many of the venues that have remained closed, and we are continuing to work with all partners and role players to find the safest and the quickest way to do this. It needs to be emphasized that the third wave is not yet over, and it is only through our actions, individually and collectively, that we will be able to reduce the number of new infections still further. This virus is still with us. Once we have done that, our priority must be to prevent a resurgence of infections. Our most urgent task is to vaccinate our population so that as many people as possible are protected from the severe illness or death before any resurgence of infections. The more people that get vaccinated before December, the less likely it will be that we will experience a devastating fourth wave over the holiday period. That is the greatest reason for all of us who have not yet done so to get to a vaccination site and get protected. We must take seriously the need to ventilate our homes, workplaces, and other places where people gather. As we have always said, COVID-19 is transmitted through the air, and therefore we should all be concerned when we find ourselves in enclosed areas without adequate ventilation. Those responsible for organizing indoor meetings should ensure that there is sufficient flow of air through the venues. In exactly 50 days' time, South Africans will go to the polls in the local government elections. It is vital that as we undertake this great democratic exercise, we do everything within our means to prevent a resurgence of COVID-19 infections. At the same time, we need to ensure that the pandemic does not limit the ability of all South Africans to freely exercise their democratic right to elect their local councillors. This is a matter that I discussed with political leaders earlier in the week, and there is firm commitment from all parties that election campaigning should adhere to the state of disaster regulations and all health protocols. We urge all South Africans to exercise their right to campaign responsibly and take care of to safeguard their own health and the health of others. While we intensify the fight against COVID-19, we cannot ignore the other pandemic that is causing such misery and damage in our society. We have just finished Women's Month, where we planned to celebrate the success of women in many fields. Instead, our country bore witness to several brutal attacks by men on and against women. This month alone, there have been a number of terrible crimes committed against the women and the girls of our country. There was a Forte law student, Ms. Nosicelo Mthebeni, who was murdered and dismembered in East London. There was the grade one pupil from Kensani Primary School in Soshanguve, who was raped in the school's toilets. There was Palisa Maruping, who was found hanging from the ceiling of a house in Kuma location in Northwest. And there was Miss Peliswa Saudana, who was strangled to death in Kosovo informal settlement in Cape Town. These are just the cases that were covered in the media. I'm certain there were others that were not. These gruesome acts of violence cannot and should not go unpunished. We must strengthen our resolve to end gender-based violence in all its forms. The women of our country deserve such a resolve. We must strengthen our efforts across all fronts. And this must be our resolve as the men of South Africa, that we should continue to respect the women of our country. The National Assembly has approved three critical pieces of legislation that will further strengthen the criminal justice system and ensure harsh penalties for those found guilty of gender-based violence and femicide. The courts are increasingly handing down judgments for life imprisonment, for statutory rape, robbery, and aggravating sentences that involve rape. We continue to implement all the pillars of the National Strategic Plan against gender-based violence and femicide. Ultimately, the success of this work depends on the actions that we all take to end this horrible pandemic of violence against women and children. I wish to once again make a call to the men of this country to understand that the rights and freedoms guaranteed by our Constitution belong to all people, men and women alike. We continue to implement measures to assist households, employees, and businesses that have been affected by the pandemic and by the public violence that occurred in the parts of KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng in July. Since we reopened applications for the Special Social Relief of Disaster Grant in the first week of August, we have received nearly 13 million applications. Of these, 8.3 million applications have been approved, and the payments of the 350 rand have started to these recipients. Just over 3.7 million applications were declined, mainly because applicants have other identified sources of income or are registered for assistance like UIF and a number of other grant processes. Around 845,000 applications are still in the approval process. Along with other measures we've put in place, this grant is providing critical assistance to unemployed South Africans at this most difficult time of COVID. My fellow South Africans, as I conclude, since the outbreak of this pandemic, we have looked out for one another and we have protected one another in more ways than one could ever have imagined. With millions of people already vaccinated and millions of vaccine doses in stock, we're getting even closer to containing the pandemic. The day will soon come when we can gather again without restrictions. The day will soon come when we can fill our stadiums and music venues and travel more freely around without the fear of becoming ill or losing our loved ones. How soon that day arrives depends on one thing: how many of us get vaccinated and how quickly we get vaccinated. We have overcome three waves of infection because of our collective resolve and our adherence to basic health precautions. Let us make it our mission to vaccinate as many people as we can so that we can move ahead with the task of rebuilding our economy and our lives. And may God continue to bless our beautiful country and to protect all her people. I thank you.